Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chinu Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Also a big weakness for me, and I wanted to sacrifice something that would be hard to do.
I am adding more devotional time to books that are focused on the journey of Jesus Christ during this time.
I'm doing a bread and water fast, and it has a symbolic reference of recognizing that Jesus is the bread of life.
In the early church, people used the time leading up to Easter as a time of preparation for those who wanted to convert to Christianity. It was this really time of intense focus so they could learn more about the Christian faith. And then on Easter, they were baptized.
I enjoy adding something for Lent.
I'd just rather give up something because God gave up his only son.
Every night or during the day, I'm writing a letter to someone in my life who like challenged me or inspired me to live differently in my faith.
I guess I'd rather add something, but for me, it's more about sacrifice, and I feel like I need to get something up.
So we put a cross up in our front yard. It's nothing big and fancy. It's just a big wooden cross to remind people. And I put a little thing over the mailbox that says, "He is risen."
Because there's no hard and fast rule about how to observe Lent, I think some people take the approach where, you know, you need to be more somber, you need to cut out certain luxuries in your life. But I think the real question is, what space is it creating in your life to be closer to God and to do a little bit more self-reflection on your own practices and habits?
It's not extremely hard until the thing that I'm giving up is put right in front of my face.
I get pretty disappointed in myself if I fail.
As long as I do my devotional time first thing in the morning before the rest of the world tries to run in on me, I'm pretty good.
It just reminds me that even though I'm giving up something that does, I guess, mean a lot to me, that God's going to fill that in for me.
It's just a time of heightened spirituality.
All of Easter week is important, but Easter morning is just, I wouldn't miss that service for anything.
And so this time of Easter, whether or not you were able to really commit to the things that you said that you would do, is a time to really say, thank you, God, for this life that you've given me, and to continue to ask those questions about how you can be a better Christian, how you can be a better father, daughter, parent, student, brother, sister to those around you.
This video was brought to you by the people of the United Methodist Church through World Service donations.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chinu Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Gracious Father, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body and blood of your beloved Son. The body is broken, God's love poured open to make us new. Lord, make us new. Abba, Father, we bless your name and take part in this holy communion. Make us
good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Gino Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome. Thank you.
seems that I have known Don and Sylvia always. I cannot imagine St. Matthew's without them. Don can fix anything, and did. And Sylvia can cook anything, and she did. There are a number of recipes in our church cookbook from Sylvia. If the recipe has her name on it, you can be sure it will be a hit. A few years back, we had talent auctions at St. Matthew's to raise money for the church. At that time, Don owned a plane, and Barbara and Dick Laughlin had a cottage on Rangeley Lake in Maine. They combined and offered a weekend at the cottage, and Don offered to fly the lucky winners from the airport in Stowe to the airport near the cottage. When it came up for auction, people hesitated, so I made an opening bid just to get things started. Someone else countered, and I didn't respond. My husband nudged me and said, "Keep going." It ended up that we won the weekend. Now for the flight. We were getting higher and higher because there was a mountain we had to cross. I think Sylvia was more nervous than we were. Obviously, we made it and had a great time. There are many other memories that I could share. Needless to say, they will be missed. Our prayers and love will always be with you, Don and Sylvia. May God bless you and keep you safe.
Sylvia and Don, when I think of you and how much you mean to St. Matthew's, I picture a piece of woven fabric with all the threads looping under and over and combining together to make up the St. Matthew's family. You two are some of the inner threads, an integral part of the woven fabric. Over the years, I've seen you actively involved in every aspect of church life. I can picture a Vineda in the kitchen, or a Vineda moving tables and chairs, or greeting people Sunday morning, singing in the choir, or playing the bells. Basically actively involved all over the place. When Ed and I first came to St. Matthew's, you, Sylvia, were the office admin, soft-spoken and cheery, so organized, keeping track of everything and holding everything together. Bumps in the road never seemed to faze you. And you, Don, you are the man of solutions, the biggest of which is your expertise with the oil candles on the altar. We're going to miss you, too. Your kind words and your willingness to help all the time. Sylvia, I'll miss your soft voice and your laugh and your cheerful attitude, always conscious that a solution can be found. And Don, always ready to analyze a problem and find a solution. I'm really sad to have threads pulled out of the fabric of St. Matthew's, but I'm happy to hear that some of those Sunday phone calls with Debbie may soon be replaced with Sunday dinners with Debbie. The thought of that warms my heart and lets me let you go. Godspeed to Natives. We'll be in touch.
John and Sylvia, your moving has given me pause to remember all the many things you have done at St. Matthew's. My fondest memories will always be of getting to know you, both of you, through over 22 years of handbell activities. I first met you in 1996 when I participated in a famous St. Matthew's Coffee House. So with Dot's solicitation, you, Sylvia, became a charter member of the new chime choir and worked on every activity to raise funds for handbells. Reminiscing has made me realize that wherever you were, Don was there to support. He volunteered his time and his van and eventually became a ringer. Don also played his clarinet to accompany some great handbell pieces. Don also stepped in to direct the handbells a few times. One particular occasion I'll always remember. I hope you know you will always be loved by your friends at St. Matthew's. We wish you health and happiness in your new home in New Jersey, where you will be closer to your loving daughter and her family, and you will now be able to share in so many more wonderful family activities. Go in peace.
I am strength for all the despairing,
healing for the ones who dwell in.
Well, it's Gordon. Wanted to wish Don and Sylvia well on this big new chapter of their lives as they move down to New Jersey to be close to their family down there. I first met Don and Sylvia back in 1970 when I first moved with my family to this area and became members of the church. Don and I sang in choir for many, many years, probably 50 or more. We were in a quartet called the Bifocal Boys for something like 16 years. And when two of the fellows moved away, then we picked up two others and sang in a barbershop again for another 4 years. Don and I were members of the trustees for many, many years, at least 15. And Don was involved in the design and overseeing the construction of the new sanctuary, and especially with the sound system. He and I worked a long time installing the cabling and some of the connections for the sound system, and right up during construction and right after. And then in later years, he and Paul Thompson got involved in installing the new speakers that are above the altar at this time. Sylvia was church secretary when I first got here, and she and Lou Lane became very good friends, probably her best friend until her passing. Sylvia worked with the kitchen crew for Lord knows how many years, also as communion steward, and more recently as in the bell choir. So I wish them well, and I know I will miss these folks, good folks, and many others will too. So Godspeed to you.
After all these years, the time has come to say goodbye. Thank you, Sylvia, for being my shepherd. I appreciate all the cards and prayers over the years. I also appreciate your cooking. I know that many a times you help provide refreshments for the choir, food for potlucks, and of course the soups that we will all miss, especially during these cold winter months. And Don, we've served on finance together, sang in the choir together. I always appreciated in finance your attention to detail. And not many people know, but Don is actually the creator of the PTA. And for anybody who's had to submit expenses, they know what that is. And your attention to detail and your institutional knowledge of this church will be sorely missed. And I hope you were able to pass that information along before you go. And I will miss your song. I'll miss your sense of humor. So long, Don and Sylvia. We will miss you. Stay in touch.
God be with you. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Jim McPhee. I'm a retired United Methodist clergy person, and it's a privilege and blessing for me to be with you in this way today. The good news of the morning is that Pastor Jinu Chan is back from his time on continuing education and vacation. He's back this week, so we look forward to that very much. I wanted to take the opportunity just to tell you who else is here today and who's a part of the leadership of this worship. Sue Lee is with us today as reader and worship leader. Leading us in music and song are James Gutierrez and Jenny Zook. And behind the scenes, the people that sort of put all this together for us are Susan LaSante and Wayne LaSante. Kevin Butler is apprenticing this morning. And we're going to see Joshua Lunde Whitler soon. He's the director of Children, Youth, and Family Ministries. Also, I just don't want to leave out the folks who aren't here but are very much a part of this. For Thelma Schoenemann, whose creativity and marvel with flowers, she is always with us in this way. And for Nancy Fernald, who is our unfailing communion steward. We are blessed to worship. We are blessed to be invited around Christ's table. And may we be led by God's Spirit in these moments especially as we worship God.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we begin today by giving you thanks. Your love endures forever. It never fails. Though there are many ways in which we have failed, we have not exceeded the supply of your mercy and grace. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. As we prepare for worship today, we pray that we will hear your voice. We ask that your Holy Spirit will be at work opening our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. May we be transformed into your likeness and spread your love through acts of kindness and good deeds. May we on this day and every day be messengers of your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
And so is this guy. We hope you all are having a wonderful Sunday, and I have a couple of jokes for you, Joe. Are you ready? And I have jokes for you all as well. Are you ready? Okay. What do you call a tyrannosaur that's sleeping?
A sleepasaur.
No. A dino snore. What do you do with a baby in space?
What?
You rock it. You know, like rock it? And you rock the baby and... Do you get it?
Oh, yeah.
It took you a minute. Why did the teddy bear refuse dessert?
Because he was too stuffed.
Oh, wow. You figured that one out. Good job.
No, I did not figure that one out. I heard Renina told it to me.
Oh, okay. All right. Your Nina told you. What is a plant that you can hold in your hand? A palm tree. Okay, thanks for the pity laugh. What did you think of those jokes?
They were kind of funny.
They were kind of funny. I think kind of is the operative word. To understand that joke, what do you need to know? You need to know what the word stuff means when you're talking about a bear, right?
Or a stuffed animal.
And then you need to know what stuff means when you're talking about eating dessert, right? So you need to hear, you need to know both of those things. So when you hear the word stuffed, you're thinking, oh, that sounds like what we say when somebody's really full. So when you hear a word that sounds like another word, that's part of what makes it a joke. Well, so the reason I was bringing that up was because our passage today is from Isaiah chapter 40. And in that passage, Isaiah says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Have you not known? Have you not heard? What would an Israelite say when they heard those words? What would they think that sounds like? They would hear what was called the Shema, which is the greatest commandment. If you remember that, it is, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. Yes.
I thought you meant arm.
No, not all your arm, all your strength. I was trying to make a muscle. See, like this, all your strength. So when an ancient Israelite heard that passage, they would have thought of the hear, O Israel, when Isaiah says, have you not heard? And so that would sound like the Shema. Have you found it hard sometimes, Joe, to keep the Shema, to remember to love God? Actually, we talked about that the other day, didn't we?
Well, I was saying that is too hard to follow that commandment.
And we talked a little...
Because I love my parents so much.
Well, that's very sweet.
I love them more than with all your strength and mind and soul.
Well, we love you more than anything, but... Also, we told you that one of the ways in which you show your love for God is by loving us, and one of the ways we show our love for God is by loving you. But the other thing is that sometimes it is hard to love. Sometimes we find it hard. In fact, when we're really stressed out or tired or mad about something, we don't always love our best, you know? That happens a lot during COVID. I know that a lot of us are just kind of bouncing off the walls, ready to go like that. So it can be hard, especially right now. We've been doing this for so long. It feels like, how much longer is it going to go? And you know what the Isaiah says, the prophet? He's talking to Israel and saying, don't forget, the Lord is God. The Lord is one. And then I wanted to read this to you because he goes on and says, just listen to these words. God does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even children will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a lot of these sounds-like kind of moments in the Bible. If you know where to look and if you ever read your Bible and see, oh, yeah, that reminds me of something else I read before, then, you know, ask about that, study that, because there's a lot of fun little things that you can learn by finding these little sounds-like moments in the Bible. But one of these through lines about through the Bible is, when we're not at our best, God is still faithful. God is still God. God is still with us. God hasn't abandoned us or left us. And God can give us the strength to remember God, to remember how to love and to remember to be patient and kind. God is always there. God is faithful. And God hasn't left us. And so this reminds us of that. And maybe if we can remember that this week, even when it's tough, even when we're kind of stressed out or ready to kind of tear each other's hair out. I don't know. You've got a lot of hair to tear out, so that would be very painful. So don't do it. And we can remember that God is with us anyway. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for helping us hear and obey your voice when you tell us to love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. We pray that when we feel tired and when we feel weak, can you remind us how much you help us and are still with us? In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
Bye.
That seemed really enthusiastic. Okay, maybe that's a little too...
Everyone's born clean water and grass. A dove.
Scripture reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 23. For I will preach the gospel. I have nothing to boast about, for I am under compulsion. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a commission nonetheless. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all people, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may gain more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, so that I might gain Jews. To those who are under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being under the law myself, so that I might gain those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, I became as one without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might gain those who are without the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may be all by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, by the gifts of your Spirit, may you bring for our hearts and lives once again the power of your word. For we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I don't think it would be anything new to you for me to say that we are a divided people. Now, our diversity, our uniquenesses, the variety of our gifts, those are all given to us by God. But the divisions that we know in these days, in our communities, in our churches, in our country, across the world, these are evidences of our stresses, our brokenness, our separateness. Christian blogger John Pavlovitz writes about this. He says, our problems aren't simply a matter of us versus them. What we have here is not a liberal problem or a conservative problem. It's a human problem to which we all are susceptible. It's a human tendency, he says, to forget to be kind when we feel angry, afraid, misunderstood, misjudged, opposed, or threatened. Well, I'm not sure about all of that, but this experience of division, I will tell you, is present within my own family. Parts of my family have settled on kindness, but it goes hand in hand with not speaking really about meaningful things together. We fear each other. We fear alienation. We fear further division. The divisions of our time are personal for many of us, aren't they? They often live close to home, close to our hearts and relationships. And so in the midst of all that we're going through, the question that I raise is, how can we speak the truth and be loving with our neighbors? How do we hold this tension? How do we do both? Well, in our scripture lesson this morning, the Apostle Paul seems to have something to say in these dangerous and difficult times. The 22nd verse that Sue just read in our passage, Paul says that he is all things to all people in sharing Christ's gospel. I'm going to say that again. All things to all people. Well, I confess to you that my first response is that Paul doesn't really understand how bad things are. But I can tell you also that over and over in my life, I have heard that you can't be all things to all people. We're told that we can't expect to find common ground with everyone. We can't expect everyone to be entirely happy with us all the time. This same Paul, who claimed to be all things to all people, remember, as Saul was chief among those who had persecuted the early Christian movement, who had doggedly pursued followers of Jesus, who had supported the killing of Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr. Now, Paul's later experience with the risen Christ changed everything for him, changed heart and mind, changed the experience and direction of his entire life. So it's not Saul, but Paul who is saying about his own ministry that he does not come from a place of superiority or particular privilege. He comes as a servant. He expects to be misunderstood, even opposed. But his approach is to try to make common ground with others, to walk with others in their experiences. That's what it means. To be all things to all people for the sake of Christ's gospel. St. Francis of Assisi is purported to have written, preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. I understand that that really isn't what he wrote. His actual words were something like this. It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. Francis was referring to that tension between what we profess and what we live, the walk and the talk. It's what Paul was expressing to the Corinthian church. How do we proclaim what is true about God? How do we profess God's love and mercy and justice while we not only can't get along with others who disagree with us, we may not even be on speaking terms? Paul's approach, all things to all people, sounds good, doesn't it? But if you have seriously ever had an encounter or sought to develop a relationship with another whose worldview is nowhere near your own, with whom rational arguments find no common ground, then you know this is terribly difficult. Although it's very much on our minds, perhaps, what I'm speaking about today is not really about our current politics. I'm not even speaking about our denominational struggles. The United Methodist Church is on the cusp of having parts of the church separate from each other. We might have done so by now if it weren't for this pandemic that has prevented the denomination from meeting and taking those actions. Now, what Paul is referring to is an experience of deeply understanding others, being able to enter into the experience of another, and, if it can get there, to really enter into dialogue, even with somebody who initially doesn't trust you, perhaps who thinks you're an opponent or worse, who may not have an interest in dialogue or sharing in the first place. Paul's context here is his ministry, sharing the life-changing, world-changing gospel that he himself experienced so dramatically. The good news of Jesus Christ with folks who don't know of it, who may have other ideas about who God is, who are suspicious or disinterested. And note also in this 22nd verse, I love this, that he says he hopes to save some. This is not a triumphalist manifesto. This is not some magic potion. This is hard work. The truth that emerges in humility, grounded in spirit, with God as a partner in all that we seek to do and be. In this context for us, whether the person we encounter is a political opponent or somebody we usually sit next to in church, when we can sit next to somebody in church, the essence of the interaction is to see another as Jesus would see them, with love and mercy, with truth, and seeking new understanding and new life, with hope and compassion, seeking to relate to another person on more than a surface level, finding common ground. Dear siblings in Christ, as I've said, this is hard. We are all in a very difficult place. But my friends Paul and Francis, however, I want to tell you three things that I think I know. First, tell the truth. We need to tell the truth in the ways we know how. Truth about Jesus. Truth with humility. Not partisan talking points, but as St. Francis would say, live the truth that we're called to tell. Build communities of humility and love, not self-righteousness, so that what we proclaim and live has credibility and authority worthy of our Christ. Two, we need to find opportunities for sacred conversations, not just with people we know, not just with people who we think are on our side. We need to find occasions with other children of God who may be very different from us. Occasions to talk the talk about the realities of our lives, how we are as children of grace, the truth of how our hearts and lives are changed by Jesus Christ, and what that means for our living and serving, our walking and working in the world. In this, dear friends, we've got to be brave. We've got to have faith. We've got to dare that God will help us to find our voices and help us to find common ground, common hearts with others. And finally, we need to, in all the ways we can, express hope in the midst of a society that lives in anxiety and uncertainty and despair. The truth of Jesus is that God has placed the church in the world for such a time as this. The advent and epiphany of Christ was for a broken and hurting world such as ours. Our mission field is all around us. It's perhaps even in our own families. And there are signs all around us of hope, of new life, of new relatedness. We need to look clearly. Signs of God's Spirit breaking through all the other stuff. evidences of compassion and peace and justice, change which honors all God's children and all God's creation. Let us be people who point to these signs of truth and hope and new life always. May God continue to surround you with grace and richly bless you with all the gifts that you need, that we all need, to walk the walk and talk the talk of truth, of love, of hope, that will indeed change the world to the glory of God. Amen. We come to this table because we want to celebrate care in illness, comfort in sorrow, healing beyond curing, peace in forgiveness, hope in times of fear or threat. We come to this table because we claim our abundance as culture defines it or as our hearts know it. We come to this table because we have discovered our own generosity and need to give. We come to this table because we are willing to be welcomed, even when that's awkward, and willing to welcome knowing it may be rejected. We come to this table where the bakers and the starving touch elbows and hearts. We remember that Jesus Christ came from a culture of oasis hospitality. Stories of manna, grain gleaned, and a Passover meal for which everything stopped and all were fed. We remember that Jesus came from both family Sabbath evenings and the rule bending of grain plucked from a field when somebody was hungry. We remember that Jesus knew when it was the last Passover how important healing and turning lives around was. And blessed unleavened bread and poured wine and love freely, inviting us always to share with brokenness and grace. Let us pray. Gentle host, rest upon us as you rested upon water and light, earth and creatures, human beings, all in your image, and even in the cooking pots and serving bowls of those who love you. Send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing upon your children, that this bread may be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out to give hope to all. Risen Christ, live in us that we may live in you. Breathe in us that we may breathe in you. And now, as our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, let us share together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Let us in our many places receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven. We are one in Christ in the bread we share. Let us in our many needs and many blessings receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing. We are one in Christ in the cup we share. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us share in them now. Let us join in our prayer together. Spirit of Christ, We give thanks for this grace from our deep heritage of sanctuary Eucharists and community meals, and from our personal memories of many generous plates and your Holy Supper. Wrap your hopeful presence around all our bodies, spirits, and hearts needing healing or hope. And let us become your compassionate spoon, your safe refuge. May we be lifted up to serve you and all your children in the world. This is, of course, the first Sunday of the month, our Food Sunday, where we participate in helping to provide meals for so many in several of our communities in this area. Let us be in prayer for these gifts. Lord Jesus, you feed us so abundantly at your table and in so many other ways. We are blessed. We are moved. And we ask you to receive our blessings as we seek to share in the abundance that you've provided us. May you help us as we are fed to be those who help to feed. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. We, of course, do offer from what God has bestowed abundantly with us. And so let us join together in our response to God's grace. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts, not the amounts of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with grateful hearts. Amen. These are prayers that you have been offering in our chat that we offer on behalf of our community. First from Susan LaSante. Valerie Walters called me. A wonderful church built a ramp to help her get out of her house in her wheelchair. She has an appointment with a neurosurgeon in February for a diagnosis and treatment plan. Please pray that he has the wisdom to know what the best way forward will be, and that Valerie is able to hear him and trust God is with her. From Dot Wurst, my heart is sad this morning in the death of Priscilla Killian. I pray for comfort for all of us who mourn. From Andrea Bonner, with gratitude for all the Vonitas have done for our community, we pray for their safe move and future happiness. This is our prayer. From Christy Heron, prayers for Dave Hart as he prepares for surgery on Tuesday. This is our prayer. From Judith Ann Keene, prayers for her cousin Harriet. This is our prayer. From Nancy Vaccaro, prayers for my sister-in-law's husband, Mike. He will have surgery later this month to remove a kidney. This is our prayer. From Andrea Bonner, I pray for peace of mind and safety of body for all those who are threatened in their neighborhoods, including my friend, Beth. This is our prayer. From Judith Ann Keene, we pray for our Congress, hoping they stop fighting each other and idolatry and try to work together for the greater good of our country. This is our prayer. From Jenny Zook, prayers for family dynamics under strain and conflict during these difficult times. We pray that love, peace, and forgiveness may guide the way forward. This is our prayer. And from Betsy Comstock, I pray that I may be an instrument of healing of the deep rifts in my family. This is our prayer. And if you could permit me a Thanksgiving of privilege, a new grandson was born into our family on Tuesday. Oliver is his name, and we are so blessed. So I give thanks for that. O God, may you continue to surround us with your grace and fill us with your presence and spirit, that we may continue to be blessed and to serve and to live as your children, as your servants in the world, in Christ's name. Amen. Let us offer signs of hope and peace to one another in the name of Jesus Christ. You might do that in the chat, or we can offer signs of peace to one another here. There are a few announcements that I'd like to share with you this morning. First of all, thanks once again to all the people who are present and actually not present right now, but who have been a part of making this worship service possible. We are blessed. For all of you who might be tuning in, thanks for sticking with us. Just a reminder, if you didn't catch this at the beginning of our hour, the real pastor will be back very soon. So hang in with us, if you would. We are grateful for you being part of this time. And if you would be in touch with the pastor, I think his contact information is available to you. It's simple. It's pastor@st-matthews.org. But he would love to hear from you if you have any sort of pastoral need or if you would like to be in touch with him about the church. As we've said, first Sundays are food Sundays, and so continuing that need at any time, if you are in the area, if you drop something by, the grocery cart is in the Welcome Center, and you can just do that at any time during the month. And everyone is invited to join the virtual coffee hour. I assume at home you have more than virtual coffee, but this is the virtual coffee hour. And so all you need to do is to follow the link that probably is provided in the chat, and the password is coffee hour as one word. Is there anything else that I'm leaving out? No? Okay, next week, you couldn't hear that. Next week, there's a special Valentine's Day coffee house. Oh, for Boston Hope. Share. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. There'll be more information, I'm sure, in the weekly news coming out this week. Thank you. We are being sent into the world, a world in need of healing. We have been given all that we need to be messengers of peace. Let us go now into the world, rejoicing in God's presence with us, bringing peace and hope and new understanding to all that we may meet. Amen.